It's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 15th of March 2014. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oniroa. On Saturday the 14th of March, Sharon Brown taught Island Affairs with Just Kidding host Bruce Davis Goff, and she talked with Youth Advisory Panel rep Matariki Roche.
Right, well, yes, love is indeed the seventh wave, and we'll get to listen to how it's the seventh wave in a few minutes. But in the meantime, Bruce is in, and hello, Bruce is in the house.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, being half asleep, I see that you've even brought a little thing which says everything that we're going to talk about lifted straight off Facebook. Isn't technology wonderful? So, we've got a whole list of different things here which we'll allude to as we progress. Okay. So, Bruce, what have you got?
Well, the first thing that I find really interesting...
Hang on, why can't I hear you?
Why can't you?
Can you get a bit closer to the mic closer. And I'll put
hello?
The... Yes, hello? Okay, hello? Yes, I can hear you.
I'm
okay, yeah,
okay,
good.
That's great. Well, the first thing I'd like to talk about is the two sides of marine, which is Marine Reserve and Marine R. And when you think about it, it's actually
people
quite interesting.
People get confused with the two things,
yes,
so
yes,
let's
yes.
make sure that we somehow, you know, really emphasise the difference. One is Marine R, that's how you know.
Marine R, where you park a boat, and Marine Reserve is where you park fish, lots of them. If you've ever been up to Goat Island and had a dive, it's an absolutely amazing experience. It's just full of fish. You know, if you go a night dive up there, you see big crays crawling around. You go during the day and there's huge snapper swimming around, which is quite amazing. Phil Scott was recently just talking about that, how there's a lack of big fish in the Gulf this year. He's noticed that a lot of them are smaller.
Mm. So Phil Scott being the charter fisherman?
The charter fisherman on Waiheke Island, so he's got a lot of experience, including feeding sharks, I believe. A bit of controversy around that.
Oh, really?
That.
Is he doing that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's him specifically. I could be steering you on the wrong track here, but there have been fishermen feeding their offal, you know, bits of snapper,
really?
In Matiatia Harbour, just at the mouth there. So there's a group of bronze whalers who hang around there waiting to be fed. Yeah, so don't sort of, you know, stub your toe and go swimming there. I think that'd be a very, very bad idea.
Right.
But the idea is that, you know, marine reserves, I support them in principle. Wherever we can establish them, because you know the scientists are saying that our marine environment around New Zealand, in general, is degrading.
Mm. Apparently, there are 0.3% of marine reserves in the Hauraki Gulf.
Hauraki Gulf, yeah. Mm. And it seems to me that it'd be an ideal place to establish many more marine reserves. I think some of the objections is, you know, people can just picture Enclosure Bay being absolutely swamped with hundreds of tourists with their snorkels, and of course the pressure on the infrastructure there, the council have to put in toilets, and then operators
there
will be coming
toilets,
on.
There are toilets, aren't there? Oh no, you'd have to walk 10 yards up the road to get to a toilet.
Good lord, right. 10 yards up the road.
I don't know, things aren't what they used to be, yeah.
So in principle, I think that's a good thing. Mm. But of course there is people who think such a not a good thing. So there's two sides to that one. The other thing about the marina, we go and park boats, is, you know, we kind of think about Matiatia suddenly being chogged up with all these great big launches from Auckland and Cherry Jaffa swanning around, darling, time for another G&T. But if you've ever, you know, sort of had a look out over Oniroa, around peak times, New Year's Eve, Christmas, it's like a marina there, it's just a de facto one. You know, I'd like to see a drone deployed over, pretty much flying around looking who's pumping their tanks out too close to shore and dropping dive bombs on the front, so then we can, you know, have some around going knocking on the cabin. Oi, you!
Mm. So you're a bit of a boatie?
Yeah.
So are there pump out facilities somewhere on Waiheke? Because I think that's what we're crying out for.
Yeah, yeah. But would they be used?
I don't know. Do boaties use pump out facilities, or they would maybe use them if they were free, but otherwise they'd rather just chuck everything in the sea?
Chuck everything in the thing. I think there's some regulations around that. You've got to be something like 500 metres offshore, a kilometre offshore. I'm not too clear.
But you know,
on
the thing is, if something's not enforced, then, you know, it's really difficult to get people to comply, unless they feel terribly guilty about dumping non-biodegradable muck and poos into the sea.
So to come down to the fact that, you know, are you prepared to up anchor and rip your boat around to the marina and pump out there? But I think there's possibly the advantage of a lot of boats that we do see, or some boats we do see anchored out there, might go and hang out at the marina. But it is a contentious issue.
But the thing is, what I don't understand is why you can't have pump-out facilities without a marina? I mean, it seems to me that the one thing is thinking through what kinds of facilities you need for boaties, and the marina may or may not be part of that, but I think it's around being driven by what people actually need.
Yeah. So, I mean, a pump-out facility, of course, assumes you need electricity, you need a bit of a place to tie up, a jetty of some sort. Onero is not entirely suitable for that. Mostly it's fairly calm, but if you look out now, you'll see there's a beautiful 2-metre swell rolling in. Mm. There's huge waves. Did somebody say scallop dump? It's not even scallop season. So it's looking quite rough out there.
Yes. But then having said that, you know, if it's rough, people aren't out in their boats anyway, are they? I mean, you wouldn't necessarily be trying to pump out in this kind of weather.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. You probably wouldn't be trying to do anything. But, you know, it's that fear of going swimming in anywhere near Onero around Christmas and bumping into the no-eyed moonfish, the small brown one.
Lovely. Thank you. I've now got an image of a small and lumpy brown,
no-eyed fish. Yeah, I'm not sure how that's going to pan out. I believe a petition was presented to Parliament from Keep Our Beaches.
Oh no, this is on. You've jumped back into the marine reserve now, away from the marine art.
I just find it interesting that the two things are happening.
Yes, I know, and you're not helping to separate the issue.
I know, exactly.
It's just
so people
one
are going
big jumble.
It's something about marine, isn't it? It's something about the water, I don't know.
Okay, so a petition was presented. Go on, explain about the petition then.
Well, isn't it? Correct me at any stage if I'm wrong.
Yes, I will.
But Keep Our Beaches have presented a petition to Parliament around, this is opposing the marine reserve. Is that correct?
Okay, it's not because the Chinese are buying the beaches, no.
Well, no. I don't think Judith Collins is going to get cows down there making more monk.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, no, that's it's not around. We're not going to lose our beaches.
Oh, we're not going to lose them. Okay, fine, yep. And so the petition is about
Keeping the marine reserve away from our northern beaches.
Right.
Which kind of, you know, I get a little bit of the point, but then I think anywhere we can establish a marine reserve is great. Have you ever been for a snorkel or a dive around Enclosure Bay?
I have, and it was pretty grim.
It is pretty grim. You know, at Goat Island you go for glass bottom spot the snapper tours. Here it'd be glass bottom spot the kinner tours, if you like.
And I have to say, right around, having kayaked around rather than snorkelled around, there are lots of places where there's lots of algae just growing over stuff that you feel should be, you know, much, much cleaner. And that's even, you know, around the Timutuku area that you think of as being a little bit cleaner. I mean, not necessarily in the reserve, but off the reserve or around at Oropu and stuff. There's a lot of muck in the water.
Yeah, so in principle, I really do support the marine reserve idea. And it kind of rankles a little bit with people going, yes, we support marine reserves and conservation of our environment, but not in my backyard.
Mm. But then, you see, the thing, I mean, yeah, I wish everyone would just sit down in the same time and place and work out, you know, what the problems are properly, and then if there might be concessions to be got. Okay, well, maybe it's not in your backyard, but then what are you going to actually do to make the marine reserve happen in someone else's backyard? Because that's the problem, that you move it from one person's backyard into someone else's backyard, and they're not happy either. But then I think it is part of a bigger discussion, because I think there are people who fish who also, you know, find that area accessible. Although, having said that, you know, presumably in 10 years' time, when there are actually not a single fish, that's going to be a bit tricky fishing in the non-marine reserve.
Well, you see this actually down at Oropu, where there is a marine reserve down there. And just on the border of it, top fishing.
Oh, really?
Great fishing.
Yeah.
You see boaties sort of edging up, looking at their GPS, going, oh, yeah, that looks pretty good. And we'll do a bit of fishing here. And, of course, so there's a proliferation of marine life there, and that's a great thing.
So have you been fishing over a number of years?
Well, yes. I started fishing as a young bloke for about 24, and I got my first boat and took it out in the Manukau Harbour and realised it was had holes in the bottom and was slowly sinking, and then rebuilt it and became quite an avid fisherman.
Oh, wow. So do you notice a change in the fishing conditions, or do you not really notice that as a recreational fisherman?
Look, I've got three children. I've been recreational fishing for a number of years now. So I can't really comment on that, but I think Phil Scott's comments were probably, you know, fairly accurate reflection of what's been going on in the Gulf, and we do need to preserve it. It's, I mean, it, Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
but,
great.
But the other thing I'd like to talk about is a brand new sport I've discovered.
Oh, yeah, go on.
It's called competitive parking at Mateatea.
Oh, my goodness.
And the idea is that if you go any time after about 9:30, probably around 10, there's no car parks. So what you have to do is you wait till the ferry pulls in, and then you stalk people as they come off, and you follow them slowly. And you, this is starting to sound a little creepy, but you follow them slowly in your car, you know, cue ominous soundtrack, and you wait, and you see where they're going, and they hop into their car, and you pull up quickly and put your indicators on so someone else doesn't, you know, sort of rip in behind you, because there's other people circling. It's really, you know, it's like having sharks.
So really, we're going to be moving into a state where people start looking at each other's, you know, see if the licensing thing is still on, and if it's not, calling the tow trucks and saying, can you tow this car, because it shouldn't be here, so that you can grab their park.
Absolutely.
Trying to work out if all of that can happen before the ferry pulls in.
I'm going to get some of my own chalk and go around and chalk tires just randomly. And then go and have a chat to the nice parking guys. Oh, look, there's all these cars up here, get them towed. So it's quite interesting what's going to happen there. I've never seen it so busy. I don't know, you can probably confirm this, but so busy on the ferries consistently after Christmas has come and gone. You know, ferries on the weekend and ferries during the day, there's so many tourists coming across, and I think we probably upped our number of commuters on the island as well.
Absolutely. And I see the commuters increasing every year. And then, of course, the other day, what was it? I think it was Thursday. There was a massive queue to try and get on the 10 o'clock boat to Waiheke. I was just quite astonished.
Oh,
it was circling halfway around the big building there.
So this brings me on to actually another quite interesting issue around that.
Yes,
you know, good. One where I'm probably going to get clubbed to death with a cheese sandwich. But
one I prepared earlier.
Yeah. It's certainly around what you know, I talk with my wife Angela quite often about this, and we talk about
it's good that you're still talking.
It's fabulous.
it's amazing.
Intergenerational theft. So as much as I love our older generation, and, you know, certainly we are an ageing population, there's more and more each year, and it makes me wonder how John Key's going to manage to slime out of his promise to resign if he, you know, rather than lift the age of retirement, where other countries are obviously doing it and seriously looking at it. And it's something we have to approach. But when I think about things like, well, you know, there's our lovely Gold Card senior members getting free trips to Waiheke, and there they are queuing up in their hundreds and thousands, waiting to pile onto the boat. And I think it's a wonderful thing if it was affordable. But then I look at our school children on Waiheke Island having to pay on buses to get to school. Which leads me on to another thing which I think is absolutely hilarious, which is the introduction of the hop card on the school buses.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
So,
don't get me started.
So now you have to get these little ones, remembering to tag on, tag off, tag on, tag off. And, you know, they have trouble holding onto their tickets for a start. Actually, an innovative solution was Ella Rose, a friend, suggested this. You actually get one of those little, go up to the $2 shop, and they've got these key ring things which are like a little leash. You know, you see them in large versions with people with dogs on the beach. They're about a mile long, and the dog shoots off, and they've got them on. It's like a retractable
bungee. So what are you suggesting? Like an 8-kilometre long one? So you can
I think you can get one quite...
Tug on it when they're getting off the bus.
Get by with about half a metre. So you actually attach it to the bag, punch a hole in the ticket, clip it on so it's on retractable, and the kid can just sort of like slide up and go, whoa, check this out, pull it out.
Right, but don't you need some sort of massive machine to punch through the hop card?
Oh, you could probably do it with a hot something, rather heat something up
really?
And just make a little hole.
Yeah.
So how kids can remember to tag on and tag off, I don't know. And then the bus driver is suddenly in the position of having to go, wait. And, you know, as far as I can see, it's just going to slow everything down and makes it hard for the kids.
My feeling is that it relies on people being computer competent. And not everyone is that computer competent. And, you know, I think it's problematical. If you live in Rocky Bay and the only place you can recharge your card is going down to Mateatea, that's not really convenient.
Absolutely.
Especially for a service. I mean, the other thing that really annoys me is that if I talk to Auckland Transport, they say, local board person. If I talk to Auckland Transport, they say, oh, well, you know, the ferries are unregulated, so it's a completely private service. So if you've got that happening in the middle, why are we then back on the hop card for people? I mean, it's different if you actually commute and you're using the hop in town and you're all connected to a bigger service, but if you're just using the Waiheke buses locally, why can't that run as a parallel service and just let kids get to school?
Well, I think the point is that we should be, it should be free. It should be free.
And that's the other issue, which is that we should have free school buses.
Free school buses is an investment in the future, you know. Mm. Instead of investing in the past effectively by allowing gold carters to swan around Waiheke, which is, I'm sure, is lovely for them, and I don't resent them. But it just seems that, you know, that sort of funds could be better spent in investing in the future. Mm. I mean, it goes right across. If you talk about university students, don't get me started on that. You know, these days we're expecting university students to pay for their own education and pay for retirement of our ageing population. Mm. And it's intergenerational theft, mm. as far as I can see, and it's just not fair.
The other thing I think is really unfair is if you're 18 and not studying, you have to pay a full fare to get into town. So if you're a job seeker, or, you know, you're trying to get up to the doctors, or you've got other things that mean that you're not necessarily, you haven't got lots of money, but you do need to get into town, it's really, really difficult. And so we're not facilitating people actually being able to get work or access things that they might need.
Yeah, come on, Fullers, how about a student discount fare?
Yeah. Well, they have a student discount fare, but you need to be enrolled in a school in town full time. Well, you know, there are lots of things, like I look at my own children, I think, well, they might like to get into, I don't know, trampolining or something. And they wouldn't necessarily be eligible for a student fare because they're not a full-time student off island. So, you know, things like that. But I'm sure, yeah, one can work at it.
Fullers. So actually the running gag with Fullers at the moment is the Waiheke Island Coral Lounge. I don't know if you've visited the Waiheke Island Coral Lounge. It's situated down on the wharf in Auckland.
Right.
It's got amazing, you know, a very open, sparse, modern, postmodern, in fact, architecture. Wonderful, great ventilation. The wind can howl through there, just magnificently.
So post-apocalyptic then, rather than postmodern.
Probably. I think it'd be wonderful, you know. So we've been making lots of jokes about how, you know, Waiheke commuters who have got their card, their captain's club, can go in and get a free glass of wine, did you know?
Really?
Yeah, free. Oh, Wi-Fi, goodness. So they can check their mail, some comfy couches, you know, so they're out of the weather. This is all a pipe dream, but
yes. No, but I understand that they are closing in that area. So watch that space. I don't know.
Absolutely. So in bad weather.
The day you don't get pneumonia, you'll know it's happened.
Yeah, yeah. And the huge line that used to snake right round to the gelato shop can now pack into one nice little tiny space and be intimate.
Yes.
That's how we get to know our neighbours.
Yes.
So let me just ask a question.
Go on.
It's two words. Swimming pool.
Oh, yes. Is that a question?
As Chris Knox said it, swimming pool. Okay. We'd all like a swimming pool, I think, yeah. Actually, I was on an aeroplane.
We, the royal we. Can you define the we? Because the we is
Waiheke Island and right. our children. I was on a plane and I bumped into Oscar Knightley. Hmm. And I said, swimming! And he went, yeah, absolutely, man, because he was recently on a TV show where I saw hadn't learnt to swim until much later in life. And so they followed his progress through, basic few strokes until he was a reasonably competent swimmer. And the idea behind the show is, of course, to promote teaching children to swim. And, you know, obviously it's a no-brainer. We live on an island. There's water all around us. And the statistics suggest that a frighteningly large number of children aren't competent in the water.
Mm. I've sort of asked a whole bunch of people how they learnt to swim, and invariably people tell me that they know how to swim because they learnt in a pool. Very occasionally you meet someone who didn't learn in a pool. But yes, it does seem that the island needs a swimming pool. But then there's the whole thing of, you know, how is that to come about? You know, what form will it take? And then you get a whole bunch of different views on, first of all, you get the things around we don't need a swimming pool versus we need a swimming pool. And what I find interesting is no one ever sees anyone else's point of view. So the people with young children are like, we have to have a pool because my kids need to swim. And the people who have kids around, you know, 12 or 13, they're like, oh, well, my kids already know how to swim. I don't want a pool. I want something else.
Yeah, but there's also
and then you've got adults going, well, you know, why don't we just all swim in the sea? Who needs a swimming pool? So it's really interesting how. And then you've got other people who are like, well, I really want to swim. I just don't want a pool at the school. And everyone just wants something. I just find it really interesting dealing with, all the different views around it.
And it's not only that. I'm not a politician myself, but I can safely assume that trying to get something like this pushed through a council would just about make you go cross-eyed.
Yes, and as I've said several times, there's still information that needs to be found, established, whatever, before any decisions can be made. And what I'm really hoping, and I think that's starting to happen now, is that there will be a cinema trust that can sort of really make these decisions and think through what needs to happen for a pool to happen and the different ways that that can be paid for and the different locations it could be and the pros and cons. And
let's combine both of them. The cinema can have a pool, so you can swim around the nice pool and watch movies.
Well, it's been done before. Yeah. It might be a bit tricky. Or we could have like a little underground tunnel or something that connects it to the new library, and then people could swim back and forth. We could have our first subterranean pool thing happening, teach diving in it. Yeah.
Excellent.
Good.
So I hear Tahurahi is getting rebuilt.
Yes. And all the schools, and the high school, yeah.
As well, yeah. Complete rebuild.
Massive. I mean, I... My heart goes out to the trustees because I think they've got a lot on. Because there's the thing around the rebuild, but then there's also the pedagogic implications of rebuilding something as a modern learning centre. Go on.
Yep, no, pedagogic. That's woo.
Yes, about learning and teaching.
So, I think it's fascinating. I think there's a lot of opportunity there. We've got a new principal in at the high school, and she's engaged with some local IT whizzes. And some not-so-wizzies, including myself, with the idea of getting some sort of strategy around the IT stuff.
Great.
Which is a really interesting idea because, you know, obviously learning's going that way in a big way. And we need to be able to make sure that our kids have got access to that technology, understand that technology, and that it's equitable. So one of the big things we're looking at is, you know, right across the board, not just the school, is bring your own device. So, you know, in the old days, the corporates used to say, no, thou shalt not use anything but the, you know, company-issued device. Yeah. And nowadays, a lot of people have their own devices, and they need to be able to just sort of, you know, seamlessly plug into the educational framework with those devices. So it's really interesting where that's going.
So how does that work in terms of equity? Because I think that, for me, that's that whole thing of, doesn't that sort of thing make things, isn't there a potential for it to be, inequitable?
Exactly. I mean, I think it's the same reason why, you know, the libertarian in me thinks school uniforms are just, yuck. But there's a part of which goes, actually, it's a really great idea because it levels the playing field. You don't have children turning up in, you know, flash designer clothes, and then children from less advantaged families turning up in, you know, basically rags.
Can I just ask a question on that? Because honestly, my son has managed to lose, I probably shouldn't give that away actually, but quite a lot of stuff since the beginning of term. And I'm like, how much more investment can I make in school uniforms?
So really the hats are first to go, I've noticed, and then the...
I think they've given up on those at the high school. But but certainly everything else, you know, shorts, shoes, jumpers, you name it, it's gone. And quite a few pairs of them.
Well, so hopefully they've got a sensible recycling policy. All this lost stuff actually goes up, and, you know, maybe once a month they have a lost property auction and you can go in and buy it back.
Yeah.
And raise funds for the pool.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
So it was interesting to see George Gardner, a woman on fire, yes.
Oh, yes. Well, I didn't read that article in the marketplace, but I heard about it. Were you there?
No, I just read about it as well. I thought it was, wow, crazy. Right.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But good honour for getting married. I thought that was absolutely fabulous.
I think it's fantastic. And interestingly, there was a parallel of it in the paper a few days before. There was another example of someone getting married, and there was a fire, and all the firemen turned up, and there's a picture in the Herald of the bride and groom posing with all these handsome, burly fire chaps.
Oh, wow. And did George get that picture as well?
I'm not... Yes, there was a picture
of it.
Okay, but I think it's a trend.
Yeah. Maybe it's a stunt.
So, yeah, I think I might renew my marriage vows with Andrew, and we'll just set a fire nearby and see where we can get things going. Woohoo! Yeah. Just kidding.
Don't try this at home.
Okay.
Good. Lovely. So, thanks very much for coming in. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about? Anything that's...
Of course. I just wanted to plug the children's show, which is here on Waikiki Radio every single Sunday at 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock, with stories and poems and much, much more, as our tagline goes. I think some people do listen to it, hopefully. But there's no way of really knowing with radio, is there?
No, there isn't. Ah, but fabulous. It's really nice that we've got such a range of programming on Waikiki Radio. Love it. Okay, well, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Sharon.
Okay,
we'll see you soon.
Have a lovely week.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
Okay, great. And who can it be? Well, it's Matariki Roche. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Lovely, great. So, what's your official title? It's student,
it's the youth rep? Youth advisory panel member for Waiheke Island.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. Good.
Long title, but.
Yeah. So, how's that going? Because you've been doing it for about eight months now?
It was a year in February. I got sworn in on February, which was really cool.
Okay, excellent. So, what's been happening with that?
It's been really all go, really, because we had last year we had the sign off of SIPSAP, which is now called I Am Auckland, which is the it's a plan that we created in co-governance with Auckland Council about young people. So basically all of Auckland has to follow that, which was really cool. And then as a follow-up thing as a launch of the plan, really, we did this thing called We Are Auckland, which was really exciting. So we organised a whole region-wide youth event, which was pretty hard, a lot of work, really. And so that was really cool. And so we had people from every local board, including Great Barrier and Waiheke, going to the museum for a big youth day to basically celebrate how awesome we are. And there was a lot of really cool workshops about leadership and facilitation, and yeah, it was just a really awesome day.
Cool. And how many kids went from Waiheke, do you know?
Two. It was really hard to organise transport and stuff. Fortunately, council paid for our transport in the end, which was really awesome. So we had Tawa Tawa and Bella Joseph from Waiheke go.
Oh, excellent. Good.
Yeah.
Lovely. And what was your highlight from that day?
It was just seeing all the different young people interact with each other from different regions and stuff, just getting to see everyone networking together. So that was really cool.
Oh, cool. And have you made some new friends from that youth advisory panel?
Oh, yeah. Everyone on the YAP, which is short for Youth Advisory Panel, is really awesome and super friendly, and they're just all around great people. So.
Oh, lovely. Oh, we look forward to other things that you're doing. And have you got other projects in the pipeline with them?
Yeah, we do. So we've got sub-regional jams coming up, which is going to be like a mini version of the youth summit that we had, but for each region. So for Waiheke, it's going to be central, so that includes like Ōrākei and Great Barrier and everyone from the central area. And then we're all going to meet up and have basically a big day, mini version of that, where we can all network together and stuff.
Lovely.
Yeah.
And so is that just you guys who are on the youth advisory panel, or is that also kids from Waiheke get to go over and do things?
Yeah, so it's from people from each local board area within Central. So and it's mainly the people on the youth boards, which I'm currently trying to set up, where we've got a launch date or a hopeful launch date, which will be like the 20th of April, I think it is.
Wow, cool. So this is the launch date for the Waiheke Youth
Board. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. Tell us about that. I hope they're not going to be telling us what to do. That sounds scary.
Yeah. Oh, you bet we will.
Yeah, go on then. So what's that?
So we've got a couple of things coming up. So what we're planning on doing is having people who are interested or have registered their interest for being on the Youth Council to go over for the sub-regional jam. And then if they think that they're really committed and they really want to do that, then we're going to organise a youth day thing for Youth Week, which will also be in April. And then so that kind of gives them a taste of what being on the Waiheke Youth Council will be like. And so it's going to be a big day and lots of sausage chisels and, you know.
That's on the island.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
lovely.
Yeah.
But before that, you're suggesting that people come with, go to this day in town as well.
Yeah, yes.
Oh, wow, that sounds amazing. Huge opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. And it just gives, because everyone else who will be going, there will be people who are going on a youth board in their local area or people who want to be on a youth board in their local area. So we'll give the people from Waiheke a taste of what it might be like.
Lovely. And what age group are we talking about?
Anywhere between the ages of 12 to 24.
Oh, okay. Lovely.
Yeah. So.
And so, and where is it being held in Central, do you know?
That's still being decided. It's so the actual date is the 12th of April, but okay. We're trying to toss up. There's a couple of really great places that we could go to, like the museum. The atrium up there is amazing. But there's like a bit of discussion going on at the moment, so that should be decided by Tuesday, so that's cool.
And while we're on the topic of the museum, there are some amazing things going on there. There's some really interesting photographic exhibitions that are coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a great Easter egg hunt through the museum. What else did I notice? There's a whole bunch of stuff that's happening around Anzac Day.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a poetry competition. There's just some really lovely stuff stuff going on at the museum, so make sure you get onto the website and find out about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, okay, lovely. And so we're going to have to publicise that so that people know about it.
Definitely. Well, we're working on that at the moment. So I'm working with my council advisor, officer people at the moment to get posters going. And I'll be obviously talking to the schools and getting posters in at the ferry terminal so commuters know. Because although Waiheke High School is basically my main pool where I can just talk to people really easily, I don't want it just to be high school students, because I know there are people who are in the youth group, youth age group, but don't go to school, so like people who are at university or young mums or people in the having gap years and stuff. So
absolutely, no, that sounds amazing. And I guess you can also use social media as well. Oh no, excellent.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to pick up the Waiheke youth page, which, so if you're listening, you should go like that. That's gonna have some pretty
Waiheke
cool
youth page. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
do you have to be youth to do that, or can I go in there and
you
like
can
it?
Go in there if you want to find out stuff for your kids and stuff, but that's going to be picking up really soon, so I'm doing a bit of work on that at the moment.
Oh, that sounds lovely, because that's a great thing to have, a place that people can connect.
Yeah, exactly.
And okay, so there was a bit of community engagement this week?
Yeah. On Wednesday we had my council officers come in to the school to help do some youth consultation for the local board plan. So that was really cool. So we had big posters and free chocolate fish and a big prize at the end for as an incentive. And so we had two posters, one which said, what do you love about Waiheke? And the other one saying, what would you like to improve about it? Which was really cool. And we had some really great ideas coming from that.
Cool. So what were the things that people loved?
One of the big ones that everyone put down was beaches and the community and the people. That was probably the top three.
And things that they wanted more of?
The big ones were they wanted a pool that was really huge.
Oh, that was really strong.
Yeah. Other ones were more music festivals and like a youth space, cheaper ferry and bus prices. That was all a big thing.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah, well, I think that's so important, because I think, you know, it's really, you know, we have a great island, but I think some of the opportunities that you guys might want to take part in are in Auckland.
Yeah, it is.
It's good to be able to do that and not be completely broke.
Yeah, exactly. There's so many, because Auckland's so huge, there's such a wide range of stuff offered there, but it is quite a big expense to go over there, especially if you're like a student or a person just coming out of high school and you have to pay your own way there. It's just too expensive.
So I was just talking to Bruce about the hop card.
Any
thoughts around how that's working for kids at high school, or has anyone mentioned
High school students, from what I've heard, it's quite convenient, just because you can top it up. That is, if the website let you. There's been a bit of the website hasn't been able to cope with the amount of people going on it recently, been a bit annoying. And it's been a bit difficult, because I've heard quite a few cases where they wouldn't register children as children, which is getting really confusing and a bit hard. But apart from that, high school students that I know of had told me that it's quite convenient, just because you can always have, say, like $10 on there just in case you absolutely need to go somewhere and you didn't plan to bring spare change with you. So.
Oh, interesting. So when it's working, it works well. But it's a bit, and I guess all of you guys are connected to the internet anyway, so that's helpful. Yes, I heard that the problem was around the 16 to 19 year olds.
Yeah,
because you have to show proof that you're still in an educational establishment.
So
that's a bit of a drag, because you need either a letter or an ID card, or you know, to turn up. Although the people said if you turned up in your school uniform, you'd be all right.
Well, I think that's kind of obvious. No one wears a school uniform for fun.
No, totally. Oh, wonderful. Good. And so that was youth engagement for the local board plan. So that's the three-year plan that's that we're in the process of asking for comments on, and I think there's another formal submission process a bit later on in the year.
Which is why we wanted to get the young people in the informal, because we tend to not like to sit through big long meetings. So
yes, and also do formal submissions, although it might be quite interesting for some of you guys who are a bit more like, you know, have, you know, want to develop or want to work on those written skills or have that kind of thing to say, to actually do a written submission from the youth board, say, once it's set up.
That's one of the things that we're going to look at. There's a whole heap of things like events and submissions and just a whole heap of...
Now, talking about events, it's New Zealand Music Month in May.
Oh, yay.
And so I think that would be a really cool thing, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, for you guys to organise something around. Because I think it's just a really, you know, it's a cool thing to do.
If we can if we can plan it, that would be really awesome. I'd love to see a whole heap of high school students or young people performing in support of it, because I reckon we need to get listen more to our young people, because we've got some amazing talent on the island.
Yeah, no, so. Totally. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that. Oh, and I see that you've been sitting on, well, I've seen you there at the local board meeting sometimes. Is that enjoyable, or is that a big headache, or what, do you get anything out of that?
No, it's really, really interesting, actually. I really enjoy listening to, I usually can only stay for public forum just because of homework and school and everything, but I really do enjoy it, listening to everyone, and we've got such a great community. It's just a great time to hear everyone from there.
Oh, cool. Okay, well, everyone, we are going to have to go. Thank you very much, Matta.
Oh, thank you.
So that's Matta from YAP, the Youth Advisory Panel, Waiheke representative. And I now have to get her over to where she works, and I thought she'd said at 2, but it's actually at 11:30, so we're going to have to leave. Okay, right, so that's the end of Island Life for today. Thanks very much. Thanks, Matta.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, our weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.